Here's Doug Ord. Briefly did so at the beginning of the service, but we're going to invite Doug to come on up and share God's word with us this morning.
Thank you, Steve. I've had the privilege, and how is the sound going so far? Can you hear me? Okay, very good.
I'm privileged to work in Italy for the last 4 years or so, and one of the guys that I like very much is Pinocchio. I love the story of the guy that learned to lie. Because I learned to lie at a young age, and some people believe lies today in Italy that there is no God. I shouldn't say some, many. Many people do not trust in the traditional church. And this little guy said, "Oh no, I lied again." And that's the way that many people in Italy have lived. Not only there, but here throughout the United States, many people have believed lies and that Jesus is not coming back again. And it's time that we believe the truth of Jesus Christ. Prepare the way for the Lord is talking about what God is doing. He has chosen to ask you. He asked John the Baptist, prepare the way for the Lord. Am I down here too close to, you can't see me if, yeah. You have to lean across the way to see me. I'm going to get up on the platform. Sorry. I'm one of these guys that like to be close. So, one of those things that's happened to me. Let me show you a picture of what is God doing. He chose us. He chose Doug and Naomi Ord to go over to Colombia, South America, for 32 years. And then to Italy for 4 years. And God's got his ways of doing things. And us, as we look back, it was a bunch of craziness. I mean, we were in a country of one of the most violent countries in the world. And we were threatened with being kidnapped and killed. And there was a missionary who was kidnapped and killed just before we got, just in those first few months that we were there. But this picture is of our 45th wedding anniversary picture. And I want to say thank you. Because of you, God has blessed us. God has encouraged us. You have prayed for us over the years. You're missionaries. Not necessarily by name, but you have been faithful to pray. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for giving to the Great Commission Fund, because I have been able to give food to this big belly and to my wife and to my children. And we have been able to educate them and have health insurance. I have so much gratitude for you, my Alliance family of Western Pennsylvania. We just could not have done it without you. It's true. Do not doubt. God has used you. And he wants to use you even more. And so this picture is for that purpose, to say thank you. Thank you. Now let me say another way of saying thank you. Back in his early years of going to Bogota, Colombia, my wife and I started to scream at each other. We had a terrible, terrible, terrible fight, and the word that we promised never to mention, divorce, came up. And she stopped and she said, "Being that we are Christians, shouldn't we stop screaming and shouldn't we start praying?" And I remember my attitude that day. I am a Christian. I am a pastor. I am a missionary. I know how to pray. What do you think that attitude sounded like to God? I'm sure I made him sick to his stomach. I'm sure that I was very proud and self-righteous, and I was in the wrong in that moment. And I went to another room, and I got down on my knees, and I began to pray to God, "Oh, God, I'm so mad at Naomi, I don't ever want to talk to her again in my life. Tell the truth, God, I'm mad at you because you chose her to be my wife." You laugh. Okay, this is what God responded to my heart and my thinking. He was saying to me, "Okay, Doug, let's talk about this. Let's discuss what you just prayed to me, what you said to me. All right, you're saying that I, the everlasting, almighty, all-knowledgeable, all-knowing God, have made a mistake. Okay? That's what you're saying. Number two, you're saying that you know better in this instant what you need than I do. And what you're saying is that, number three, you are your own God. Oh, my goodness. I did not recognize that I was an idolater. Let me stop. Let me transfer this illustration to you. Have you recognized that you have been an idolater? Maybe some of you right this very minute are. And I said, oh God, I cried and I cried and I cried. Oh God, I did not mean to worship myself. I didn't mean to be so selfish, so full of pride, so self-righteous. And Lord, this is not from you. And God, you tell me to love my wife as I love myself. And I just can't do that right now. I'm still furious with my wife. But you tell me to love her. I can't. You love her just perfectly right now, and you love me perfectly right now. And Lord, I don't know what to do. You tell me to submit, to obey, to accept your love. So Lord, I accept your love. I accept your love. I accept your love. Love her through me. I accept your love. Love her. You love. Make me the channel of your love to her. Love her through me. Love her through me. Love her through me. That was my response at that moment. And I remember about half an hour going by, and I got up from my knees and I went to the bedroom and I said to Naomi, please forgive me. I spoke very, very badly to you just a few minutes ago. Please forgive me. I love you. I believe that that was a real solid foundation of our marriage. Yep. You have prayed for us. God has kept us faithful to him and to each other. God has kept us faithful in Colombia when we were threatened, our lives were threatened. God has kept us faithful because you have been faithful to God. Yes, indeed. Let me just tell you a little bit about my children. Tim on the right and Lisa in the middle and David. It's Tim, Dave, and Lisa in that order that God gave them to us. And I'm not going to explain a bunch of stories that I have about each one. But Tim was a rebellious one. David was the one that learned from all of Tim's mistakes. That's not true. I mean, he tends to do that. And Lisa was the one that just gave me the greatest joy. Because I said, God, I would like to have a daughter. Not just two boys. I'd like to have a daughter. 5 years later, God gave me a daughter. And it was on missionary tour. Meadville, Pennsylvania. God, I would like to be with Naomi when she gives birth. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. And please give me 4 hours notice so I could travel from northern Pennsylvania down to Pittsburgh. Did you know when I saw the watch at 2:44, Naomi called, I think we're going to have the baby today. And I got down to Pittsburgh 20 minutes before the baby was born. And it was 6:44 when the baby was born. 2:44, 6:44, 4 hours? How did you do that, God? I mean, I asked for 4 hours notice, and he gave me 4 hours notice. And he gave me a daughter, and I cried, and I said, oh, God, I know you love me, but you didn't have to do it that way. You didn't have to do it that way. And most of the time we pray, God doesn't do it that way. And I'm glad he doesn't do it our way, because his ways are higher than our ways. He prepares the way himself. He knows when to give. And when to say, wait, or no. He knows. He is sovereign. He is in charge of this world. And he is preparing the way. He's preparing the way in our hearts today. And I thank the Lord for each one of my children. And I thank the Lord for the privilege to be together. Now, for some reason, that doesn't look exactly like I remember it. They don't seem to be as warm and gentle and kind and Christ-like. It's just a picture. You don't know them. I do. I love them. And there I am in the middle by the tree, the blue shirt, bald head. And Tim's beside me with a bald head, beard, and his family. His little girl in his arms is Artis. Hannah Artis means fervent grace. She has convulsions every 15 minutes, every half hour, all the 10 years of her life. She doesn't speak. She doesn't walk. The doctor said she could never swallow. She was flailing her arms during one of the convulsions, and the tube pulled out of her stomach, and Tim says, "I'm not putting it back." And they've been feeding her ever since. Pizza, blender, and syringe water. Tim says, "I almost lost my faith in God, but God has strengthened him." God can give you strength for every situation of your life. He has chosen you to go through your situation. Nobody else lives like you do, Jeff. Nobody else. Nobody else knows what you're going through, Fred. But he does. He knows your heart. He knows your motivation. He knows what you need to go through to become like Jesus, if you'll let him. If you'll let him. If I let him. I love these kids. Spent quite a number of years separated from them. And I've worshipped them for a time. Yep, idolatrous. That's me. May the Lord forgive. And David, he's the one here in the red shirt. And Lisa on the right. Lisa and Dan are missionaries now with the Christian Missionary Alliance in France. This is my dear wife, Naomi, over here. Tim, man of God, he puts me to shame. He's forgiven me for the way that I mistreated him. David, sweet, he said, "Dad, I think you're disappointed in me." "What in the world would you make you say that, David?" He says, "Because I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder in my church." Oh, God. He was a pastor for a time. I'm not disappointed in any of my children. And sometimes we get the wrong idea from our parents. I don't know where the idea comes from. Sometimes it comes from Satan. But we need to be realizing. And sweet family of God. And Dan and Lisa Lawrence and little Adley have been sent by the Christian Missionary Alliance to France. We came from Europe, from Italy, and they've gone to France. People said to her, "Lisa, what in the world are you thinking to go to that country where they got machine guns, suicide bombers?" She said, "It's now the time for France. It's God's timing for France. He's preparing the way for himself that people would see the Lord." When she was a child, her greatest fear was that her parents, I and Naomi, would be kidnapped and killed in Colombia. That was her greatest fear. Now, it's kind of on the other shoe, isn't it? The other foot, whatever it's called. But we're not afraid. God is with her. And they need prayer as they study Spanish. Because as we go down into the waters of baptism, recognizing we are dead to sin and dead to ourselves, we are raised to newness of life and victory over sin through Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are so privileged to be able to express that love. And thank you for believing. Thank you for believing that word of truth that he has spoken to your heart years ago. For praying for us. Thank you for giving. Faith promise. Please continue to give faithfully. I see over here that you've been giving a pledge of 34,000 some hundred. Continue. Thank you. God is honored. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about honoring him. And this world is going to come to an end. And we've been talking about, come Lord Jesus, come. Please continue to think about a faith promise. And pray for Dan and Lisa. I've got some prayer cards. You're welcome to receive those. This is what we're asking. Stop praying for us, if you want to, and pray for them. Pray for them, that the Lord will use them in France. Just a brief word. They sent a message out. We're discouraged. The French language is too hard. And our little boy, 3 years old, is going to school in France every day. He's learning French. And he comes home like a pop bottle shaken up. And you take the top off. He walks through the door and explodes all over the place. So screaming and crying. 3 years old. They're having a hard time. Please pray for them. Would you stand with me as we read God's word? What time are we supposed to be over? Oh, I don't want to be too long. I'll make somebody mad at me. Okay. This was all introduction so far. Now you're going to get the hard stuff. Okay, let's read the scriptures. Well, listen as I read. During the high priesthood, Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Number one, God prepares the way. He chooses who he wants. He chose John the Baptist. He has chosen you to believe him. You have a responsibility because you believe. You and I, we are responsible before God. He went, John obeyed. He went into the country around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What is that talking about? Forgiveness of sins. It's acceptance with God. It's talking about life, everlasting life. It's as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. Sound like an earthquake? God uses earthquakes. The crooked roads shall become straight, rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. All people. Some people will see it from afar and not experience it personally. And some people will experience it throughout eternity, God's salvation. Thank you. You may be seated. What does it mean to prepare the way for the Lord? It means that God shows people, like they're praying here. This man from Argentina, he was a thief. He was a drug addict. He was sexually abused. He was running away from the law. And his parents divorced, and he hated them. He hated life. And he met this girl in Argentina who loved the Lord. And God chose him to deliver him from sin. God chose this woman. She was there in the Philippines. And she said, I want to go to Italy and make money to put my kids through college in the Philippines. God chose this man. Grew up in a home of communists. And the head of the Communist Party in Italy raised him and was very strict and beat him severely. He learned to hate his dad, learned to hate communism, and he learned in an evangelical church, less than 1% evangelical churches in Italy. He learned to trust in Jesus as a young man. And this man from Ecuador with his family are serving God there in Italy. How is it that God works? I don't quite understand. But he has chosen this one from the poor family to build a church in the name of Jesus Christ. And this man from Cleveland, Ohio, met his wife on the Dulas ships that went port to port to speak healing and to speak medical care and dental care and reading the scriptures and to help people with clothes and food. And he met Peruvian wife Gloria there in Peru. And so the five churches met through the Facebook, did not know that they existed. And they have learned, and they are learning, and we all need to learn to repeat the good news of Jesus Christ like John the Baptist did. Receive life through his forgiveness. Receive it every day and rely on his promises. Sounds like a way of just living normally as a Christian. Repeat the good news of Jesus Christ, receive life through Jesus Christ, and rely on God's promises, especially seen in the life of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, repeat the good news? We're remembering that there's prophecies. Prophecies were given and they were fulfilled through Italians. Did you know that? God used the Italian people to fulfill many of these prophecies. What a sweet thing that the Lord has given me. He'll be born in Bethlehem. And it was Caesar Augustus. I declare, go and take a census. Go to everyone to their hometown and pay their taxes. Jesus was born miraculously by the Virgin Mary and born in Bethlehem as prophesied. And his life, pure good. Remember he said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to God what is God's. His life was there in the shadow of Roman culture. His death at the hands of Roman soldiers, provoked, directed, manipulated. The Roman government was manipulated by those in religious authority. to put to death our Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, do not call him King of the Jews. He said, he said he's King of the Jews. But Pilate says, what I've written, I've written. He found no fault in him. His resurrection. There were guards, Roman guards at that tomb. They couldn't stop the Lord Jesus from raising from the dead. Yep. And because he rose from the dead, we're going to be raised from the dead as well. Some of us here are going to spend forever and ever with God, and some of us won't. I don't know your hearts. Please forgive me for saying that if you take it wrongly. But I believe not everybody who comes to church really knows the Lord Jesus Christ. If he's speaking to your heart in that way, listen to him gently, tenderly. He wants to draw you to himself. Let me just back up and say an illustration. I hate it when my wife corrects me. I actually despise it when my wife corrects me because she makes mistakes like I do. But God has used her. And gently I'm learning that as God gently confirms his correction to me, I like the way he corrects me. He says, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. I like the way he tenderly corrects. My wife isn't that tender sometimes. But I need it. And God has chosen to use her. Sometimes she's perfectly right. Most of the time, that's what I hate. Yes, the Lord is telling us, let's live in this relationship of believing that we're being raised from the dead, daily raised from the dead, from this selfishness, this deadness that can creep into our lives. And it does creep in every single day. You've seen it this week. And you've come, some of you, numb from that sinful life that is around you. And it's hard to hear. And it's hard to stay awake. But God wants you to hear. And God wants us to repeat the good news of Jesus Christ because he was going to raise us from the dead. He has ascended into heaven, perfect, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And he's coming again. And it says, every eye will see him and those who pierced him. It was a Roman soldier who pierced him. I love it that God used the Italian people. And I love the Italian people. And an Italian man said, as he cried at the communion table, it's my people that put him on the cross. It's my people that put that spear in his side. It's my people that mocked him and put that crown on his head. It's my people. Forgive us, Lord. And we're all guilty. Not just the Italians. And I cried because I identified with the Italian people that time. He's coming again. Italy's got problems. There are all kinds of protests. There are problems in the courts. There are problems with the mafia. There are problems in the political situation, fightings, right, even on the thing. And there are all kinds of refugees coming from Syria and all over. And from Africa, millions of people flooding in. Even in our coastal town of Ancona, many people come on cruise ships, tourists. But that's where God put us. And there, that's where he put Pastor Mario from Argentina. What is this city known for? Suicides. People would jump off of this building, a discotheque, and they would commit suicide 300 feet below on the cement, on the Adriatic Sea, because they had no hope, because there was no life. Desperate. No purpose for living. What in the world? See all the bars up here and here, so the people would not throw themselves off. It broke my heart to think about that one. Because many people say God hates us all. Do you believe that lie? Like Pinocchio? That God hates us? I don't either. And I believe that I need to receive that love daily because he doesn't want me to stay in my disobedient, contaminated state. Yes, earthquakes. God is causing earthquakes to happen there in Italy, and people are being saved, but people are dying and crying. People are being moved. Please, Lord, help us, forgive us. And this bell tower finally fell down, and this little girl was rescued. But this woman, covered in the rubble, did not make it. Grief, fear. Oh, Lord, help us just to save one. And so the Lord has called the Italian to Italy, the pastor from Argentina, to work with his wife and to honor the Lord. Call people to himself, filled with the Spirit, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church is growing, and we are called to repeat that gospel. Don't refuse to repeat. What does Jesus say? You deny me before men, I'll deny you where? Before the Father. Let's repeat to ourselves, to our children, to our grandchildren, to the world. And receive life through Jesus Christ. Receive forgiveness. Receive love. Receive correction. Receive the fruit of the Spirit. Relief. Receive living hope. Receive more abundant than you can imagine. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy except Jesus. Christ in us, Christ in you is the hope of glory, not your pocketbook. I need to ask Patrick to come up. I was asking Pastor Steve, who is a guy that's a little bit crazy here? Who is a guy that's willing to be teased? Okay, Patrick, it's your turn. I need to get my Bible. And I need to put this in your hands.
Okay.
Thank you. Hold on to that, please. It's precious to me. Okay. What does it mean to receive? What does it mean to receive? It means to make a decision. Okay. Let's talk about my life. Let's talk about my wife. She's precious to me. This ring, I worshipped her for a time. It reminds me of my children, my grandchildren. This is precious. This is a good thing. It should stay in my life according to God's will. He has allowed me to be in this situation for like 50 years now. And put that in my hand. What else do I have? I have a cell phone. I really appreciate the ability to communicate, to check my emails everywhere and anywhere. I like the iPhone. Forgive me. And this is a tool I can call people in Italy right now. And they're already done with their worship service. And what else do we have in my pocket? Oh, my. What in the world is that?
Hamster food.
Hamster food. Garbage. Yeah. It's, you know, we carry sin around with us almost all the time and don't even recognize it. Things of selfishness that destroy and corrupt. Is that true?
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Would you do me a favor? Would you just throw that on the floor?
On the floor?
Yeah. Good job. What does Jesus do? He takes the sins away if we say, please, take it away. What else do I have in this pocket? Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
More garbage. What is that? Representing what?
Sin in our life.
Sin, pride, selfishness, foolishness, lies. I told some of you about the time I lied to a pastor in Colombia. Would you take that from me, please?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Okay, what else do I have here? Throw it on the floor.
Oh.
Yeah. You don't want to keep it.
Well, I didn't think so.
I've got some money here. That's good. Do you want that? I have a watch usually, but I just use the cell phone for the watch anymore. What else do I have? Oh, I've got keys from the Christian Missionary Alliance. Many people have donated to help missionaries move around. When we come back from overseas, we have a loaner. This is a car from the Christian Missionary Alliance. People have donated, and we're able to drive that car out there. Thank the Lord for that. What else do I have in my pocket? Oh, I've got a comb. My vanity.
Absolutely.
I'm a handsome-looking man. No, you don't have to say anything. I like to tease.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay. What else I got? What's that?
More garbage.
Yeah. Would you please take that?
Yeah.
Okay. Why does it creep into our lives so easily? Pens. I like to have a pen. I like pens a lot. It helps me to take notes of people and when I help me remember names. What else do I have here in my pocket? Oh, my. This is terrible. All these coins. It makes it difficult when you have so many coins to do this illustration. Okay, I've got a hold of them, I think. All right. What else do I have? Oh, I've got a wallet back here. What do I have in that wallet?
Driver's license, all sorts of cards.
Cards. And my health.
Oh, health card, yeah.
Health card, yeah, that's important. Okay. So what else do we have here? I'm not going to do well holding on to this. You're going to take it in a little bit. This represents tears, sicknesses, this handkerchief. I need this. This is helpful. It keeps us. In Africa, they say, well, why did they save it? Have you heard that one? In Africa, they say, it's in a mission. Why do you save it?
You can keep that.
Okay, what else we got here? I've got some prayer cards for my daughter and my son-in-law here. I've got glasses. I've got many things in my life. I can pay more attention to things easily than I can to God and what He wants to tell me. Do you agree with that, Patrick? It's easy to pay attention to things that are temporary and passing away. And yet God wants them in our lives for a time. We are to be ministers. To receive something, you have to many times give up something. Did you realize that? Repentance is involved in receiving. You don't receive life without saying that is more important than anything else through Jesus Christ. This life with Jesus is more important than my relationship with my kids, than my wife, and anything else. And so I say, I'm going to make the decision to put this all to the side. And Lord, I say, take charge of my life. Can I receive the Bible now?
Absolutely.
Only until we have emptied ourselves of ourselves and the things that we want can we receive truly the Lordship of Jesus Christ, humbly receiving all that He wants to give us. Please give a round of applause to Patrick. Thank you, man. You can throw that away. I don't want it back. Thank you, Patrick. I'm going to put this ring back on as soon as I can find it here. It's the one thing I don't want to lose. The other things can, you know, be. All right. You understand the illustration? I think that it's vital. It's vital to make the choice of, is Jesus more valuable than anything else in my life or not? Is it true today that people say, I see your dedication to God. I see that you love His word. I see that you love your wife as you love yourself. I see that you are faithful in your work, in your studies. I see this. Are people seeing Christ in you? Being mission starts right here in our church. I almost didn't want to serve God because I saw too many hypocrites in my church. And we understand as young people, we can see the falseness. It's easy to see. May the Lord cleanse us from all that falseness, those lies that step into our lives, and we try to put up a front and say we're better. I'm no better than anybody here. I'm just like you guys. Yep, some of that garbage I took out. And how many times have I been proud of being a missionary? Receive life. You can't receive life until you give up death. Stop letting death overcome God's life. He wants to give it. Don't reject it. As the church there in the Christian Missionary Alliance in Italy is growing, this is the back of my wife, by the way, there. Cute little one. And people are turning to the Lord. I am so amazed to see this family turn to the Lord. On Friday night, I showed the picture. Their boy, 4 years old, was not able to speak until he came to church. And when we were singing songs, he began to sing and began to praise God, 4 years of age, autistic. And he began to speak. Now he can't stop talking. God has used this man. If you were in Sunday school, he's the soccer player that said, I want to stop fornicating with you, my Italian girlfriend. I want to stop this. My father and my mother were unfaithful, and I'm sorry. And I'm not going to go down the same path. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And he became a light. His girlfriend accepted the Lord, and all of these people accepted the Lord and were encouraged by him. You become a light. You become truthful, honoring the Lord. Rely on his promises. Rely daily. We will not replace his promises with the lies of the enemy. Never, ever, ever. Do not doubt what God says he will do, that he will do. He's preparing the way. He's chosen you. He wants to say, I want to give you myself so that you can give me to others. Today is your day. Will you retell, always repeat that story of Jesus? Will you receive that life? Will you rely on his promises? Don't replace it with lies. Rely on his promises. What does it mean, relying? Some of those promises, I will be with you always to the end of the earth. His promises are, you will see his salvation. His promises are, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Is Doug Ord weak? Oh my goodness. My wife can tell you how grumpy I can get. How selfish I can be at times and not want to even talk. And God's word will never fail. God is faithful. May the Lord help us to humble ourselves and say, God, I don't want to get in the way. And how many times have I gotten in the way? As this man from Ecuador went to Italy after his wife. Oh, what a precious, precious family. We visited each one of these pastors. This man pays the church to come to his house. The people, the Ecuadorians, he says, come, I'll pay the rent. I'll take care of the different needs of my family. Come. None of these churches pay their pastor. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pay your pastor. No, don't get that one. None of these churches pay their pastor. They work full time in another job and then on the weekends. Lay pastors, and we were sent to mentor them, to coach them, to encourage them, to pray for them. And this man, as I said in Sunday school, he was taught by his dad to fight. He paid the neighbors to send their children out to fight with him. And he learned to fight. He went to New York City, became a chef, got a car, had women, went back to Ecuador and found his wife. She had a history. She loved the Lord, and she was being changed. She was being transformed. Her history was that her mother took her and hung her by the neck till she would pass out. Her history was that her mother would put her head under the water until she was almost drowned and let her up. And this couple are seeking the Lord together. Their family is growing. They love the Lord. And we had the privilege to be with them, their family. Celebrate Christmas. Celebrate the love of God to Jesus who sent to us, born of the Virgin, to live among us. And he works with refugees. That's what he gets paid to do. A poor boy from Ecuador becoming the father image to people from Africa, from Pakistan, and from Syria. How does God work? I don't understand. But he is well honored by those who love him. And this man who grew up under the training of communism is loved by the Lord and was able to start a church because of the earthquake in Mirandola. And we pray for their children that seem to be dominated by internet games. We pray for this pastor who is from Philippines the former pastor was teaching false doctrine, and they said, Leah, you were trained in the Seminary of the Alliance in the Philippines. Would you be our pastor? And she said, I would love to serve God. I didn't expect this. I'll do it humbly. Please pray that somebody would come in God's time. Best preacher that we have, and how the church there is sweet, and they love to eat together. Filipino. I had the privilege to marry this Filipino couple. I had the privilege to celebrate the birthday of this man, Marty Bonsoff, from Cleveland, Ohio. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, obeying, going into all the world and preaching the gospel, not relying on the flesh, relying on Jesus Christ. And there in the Church of Jesus Christ, he is learning to rely. And I want you to learn to rely. And God wants you to learn to rely. And God wants me to learn to rely on his promises. He's not alone. He's working in us. He's working through us. He sent me over there to change me. Partially as part of the reason that I was sent. God wanted to change me. And take away that selfishness and that pride and that foolishness and all that I put in the way, that idolatry that I started to talk about. God wanted to take it away from me, little by little, and see the passion of Jesus Christ in other people. Do you see that passion of Jesus Christ in you? In the one beside you? In this church? I beg of you, repeat that good news, receive it, and rely on his promises today and always. Because he is more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or you think. According to the power of God that is at work within us. Let's bow in prayer. I'm going to ask three people to pray specifically about repeating the gospel and specifically about receiving life through Jesus and specifically about relying on his promises. And I'm going to ask three of the elders. And I'll start with Don. If Don would pray specifically about repeating the good news. And I'll ask for Larry if he'll pray about receiving life through Jesus Christ. And I'll ask for Bill to pray about relying on God's promises. Okay? Are all three of those men here? Yes. Okay. Would you start, Don, please? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.